Christians, I guess, especially for intelligent Christians, every time we hear the gospel, and especially when we hear the gospel time and again, it is easy for us to get in the gospel truth, the gospel knowledge. But the problem with many Christians is, though they know a lot of gospel truth in their head, somehow they cannot feel in their heart. And so that's why, you know, when we cannot feel this truth moving our hearts, what happens is then God's word just become a what? Become a theory, becomes a knowledge. And you realize that when God's truth remains as a knowledge, somehow we just cannot find the resolution. We cannot find the strength to carry out the word of God. So for example, it's not unusual for us to hear comments or feedback from Christians saying, you know, I know I should love our brethren. The Bible tells us to love the brethren, love our brothers and sisters. But I just cannot feel the love for certain brother or sister. Maybe I'm not familiar with that person. Maybe that person is unadorable, etc., etc. And more often than not, you know, when we interact with people, instead of loving them, we are faster in what? In judging them. This person, why did he talk like that? Why did he do this or that? So there's a disconnect between the truth of God and our heart. Or, you know, sometimes we know, like all of you, you are studying in campus. So just now I was just asking how studious everyone is. So we know being a student here, or at this stage of our life, we are students. We should study well. This is God's will for us. And we know that in our knowledge. But the strange thing is, a lot of times in our heart, we just cannot find any meaning in what we are studying. We just cannot see any worth in, you know, how can God use whatever I'm studying or busy with right now for His purpose, for His kingdom? So there's this, again, this disconnect. Or, you know, sometimes we talk about church. All Christians, we know, we need to attend church. And church is where we get our nourishment and so on. And we know that hearing the word of God is essential for our spiritual health. But sometimes, I won't say a lot of times to this group of people, because you're very blessed, because even on a weekday, you're willing to spend time together. But some Christians, they know the word of God is essential for their growth and for their relationship with God. But a lot of times, they don't see the importance of attending church or attending one more church meeting. Like, I know recently Pastor challenged a few of you to attend English service, right? That's why I was like, huh? How come? You know, sometimes there's certain struggle, there's certain disconnect between God's truth, God's will, and how we feel in our heart. But we need to understand one important phenomenon or one important principle. And what is that? Meaning, when our hearts, you confirm it in you, when our hearts are not moved, even if you know the truth, you cannot bring yourself to consistently. Why is consistently? Not just one time. One time is very easy. One time pray, one time go to church, that's very easy. But if our hearts are not moved, it's very hard for us to consistently and powerfully do the will of God. Because the Word of God give us what? The Word of God give us knowledge. But it is the heart that gives us strength. Think about this. So we need to work on our heart. So you realize a lot of times our church message, if you only talk about theory and knowledge, actually you go to church 1 week, maybe 3 months, you can cover all the so-called knowledge in terms of new knowledge. But a lot of times our church message, we work a lot on moving people's heart towards God, because we are very well aware that God's word, the black and white words, is theory. But when the heart is moved, then that is when you can translate the truth into actions, into true submission and true obedience to God. And so that's why the title for today's session, when we receive the Word of God every week through Sunday sermon, through NUS meeting, through your cell group, etc., through your navigators, Bible study, etc., when we receive the Word of God, it is important to also, at the same time, through the Word of God, we sense and we get stirred by God's heart. We receive God's heart also. So today let's read from John chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. These are Jesus' words to his disciples. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so this is Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Okay, joy is a bit related to hearts. It's like a kind of emotions in the heart. So verse 9, Jesus said, I have loved you first. And then verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus kept emphasizing. He is the one who loved us first. He's the one who gave us first. And verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. So when we are God's friend, meaning to say, what are friends? Friends like to do this HTHT, right? Heart to heart talk. So when we are Jesus' friend, he reveals his heart to me. He knows our heart, we know his heart. And then when that happens, nothing is hidden from us. A lot of Christians, they are perplexed because they don't know what God is doing in their life. They don't know where God is. They don't know what is God's perfect will, even in trouble. But when we are God's friend, meaning when we have the same heart as God, you realize you know, you'll be able to tell what God is doing. You'll be able to discover his perfect will more easily. And verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So this is my command, love each other. Okay, so important thing is, you know, a lot of times, okay, this is Christian and Christian, we have this perception that we need to do something for God, right? A lot of people say, oh, I need to serve, I need to evangelize, I need to pray for God, you know, I give God some faith, give him some time. You know, a lot of people think that, this quiet time is like robbing me of my spare time. I'm so busy, I still have to do quiet time. It's like, I have to give something to God. But, so a lot of Christians have this concept that I have to do something, I have to give something to God. But before that, before you do something for God, actually, we need to first receive from God. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Before God demands anything from us, he first gives us. So that's why, you know, we see that just now in the verse that we read, we kept reading what? I first love you. Because I love you, love the rest. So this is the overall arcing principle. But our problem is, what is our problem? Our problem is we like to live our own life. Meaning to say, even though we know God exists, even though we know God is the Lord, God is the Master, God is the source, but you know, we check our own hearts. We, in our truth, we have heard so much gospel, but we still like to make our own decision. We like to go by our own plans. We like to take our lives into our own hands. And only what? Only during times of trouble where we have no solution of our own, then we will turn to God. And even the so-called better Christians, they may pray in the morning. But then after prayer in the morning, sadly what happens? After that morning prayer, we embark on our own plans, our own devices for the rest of the day. So a lot of times, even Christians, we didn't seek to continuously hear from God. We are just happy that we hear from God on Sunday. Then Monday to Saturday, we sometimes forget about him. Or we are very happy with ourselves that we did our morning prayer. But then after the morning prayer, we didn't continuously seek to hear him on and on. And so that's why, even as a Christian, when we get into this kind of ritualistic faith living, we have no choice but to get sucked into the world. Meaning we get to compromise with the world. And we cannot enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is our problem. And just now, you know, the scripture we talk about, you know, loving each other because the Father has loved us. So even among humans and among Christians, a lot of people, they put a lot of praise and emphasis on kind people, good people who can love others a lot. But we need to understand that we cannot place too much weight on human love because human love is very limited. A lot of times it has a lot of selfish motive, and even if it's more altruistic, but it cannot sustain without God's help. And so we need to understand the second thing, that what God cares more about. Okay, God cares more about, this is the next word that I'm going to say is something that the gospel will always emphasize. God cares more about, wait, did I say, than perfection. God cares more about relationship. You know, in the whole verse passage that you read just now, God talk about, you know, remain in my love, meaning love with God, and then also love others. So, and then this is just one reflection of God's Ten Commandments. You know, love God, honor Him, worship Him, and love the rest. Do not love others. Do not kill, do not murder, do not steal, etc. So the whole Bible, the whole, you know, the whole heart of God is what we say, you know, when we receive the word of God, we need to receive His heart. So the heart of God is what? Bible says God is love. And we can read everything, you know, we can. So that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you know everything, you know all the truth, you even have a lot of good deeds, but you don't know what is love, you miss the point. So the knowledge then become empty talk. So what we need to understand at the background, at the back of our mind, every time when we read the Word of God, we need to read it with the heart of love. Because the truth is, God cares more about relationship than about perfection. God also, there's verses saying, you know, be perfect because your Father is perfect. I mean, God cares. That's why I say more. I didn't say God don't care. God cares about perfection, but God is well aware that as long as we are still in our flesh, in our sinful nature, can there be perfection? There's never going to be any perfection. I mean, there's never going to be perfect enough perfection. I mean, we strive towards perfection, but why did God care more about relationship? Because every time when we fall, God wants to pick us up. But when we doubt God's relationship, when we doubt God's love and relationship with us, every time we fell, every time we backslided, every time we forgot about God, every time we become numb, we will start to worry and doubt whether God will abandon us. And we will start to lose our authority in our prayer. You know, our prayer will not be firm. We just pray, but we don't know whether God is hearing us. So God wants us to value and cherish and be assured of His relationship, His unchanging relationship with us. Because though He cares about perfection, He knows that in this earthly life, as long as we still live on earth, we need to work on the relationship with Him. Because it is the relationship with Him that can tie us through what? Through accusations, through our weaknesses, our sins, our repeated sins, and through what? Through troubles. Because in this world, we know we cannot avoid trouble. But when there's a relationship with God, it can give us the strength to tide through troubles and incomprehensible times. Because there's trouble where you don't understand, why did God allow me to go through this trouble? Well, maybe, you know, sometimes you study for your test and then you get below average. You know, why, you know, God, I put in my effort, why like that? Maybe you understand already, but so sometimes there's incomprehensible times, but a relationship with God can pull us through even in those moments. And so when God values relationship, now relationship, tell me, relationship must entail a critical element. So we say, you know, now you need to know the heart of God through His word. So God cares about, God is love. God cares about relationship. And so with that, God also cares for what? You cannot say, God, I already read all your Bible, I can memorize, you know, I know what this verse means in Greek and in Hebrew, and then after that. So in relationship, there's something that is very important. Without that thing, you cannot say you have a relationship. Wei Xiang, you have a relationship with a you have a girlfriend, you are here. So a most critical thing in relationship? I mean, there's many things critical. What? Yeah, love. Love and relationship. So if there's love and if there's a relationship, there must be what? Yeah, of course there must be a person. Yeah, everything is critical. Okay. More before that. Yeah, you have the heart. So when you have the heart, what would you do? Just like I say, HT. What's the T? Yes. So in relationship, you know, you say communication, this is N. So, now when we have relationship with God, there must be prayer to build the relationship. You know, if you say I'm a friend with Xuan Hui, but I never talk to her. I only talk to her once a lifetime. I mean, I don't know what kind of relationship is that. That is an acquaintance, or people will say, this is not my friend. This is just someone I know by name. So, you know, relationship comes with communication. So, relationship takes place not in the head, but in the heart, right? I mean, we have parents who may have generation gap with us, but when we talk to them, relationship is forged. You know, in a church, there's so many different people with different background, brothers and sisters, young and old, people who are very educated like all of you, and people who are not so educated, etc. People with different interests. But when we talk, then the relationship is built. So when God talks about relationship, so in other words, why did God want us to read His word? Now back to the topic. We receive His heart through His word. So He tells us so much things through the Bible. What's the purpose? So that we pray to Him. So that we pray to Him, and through the prayer we see fulfillment. We see how God unfolds His work in our life to bless others, to fulfill His plan. So, you know, some people read the Bible without communicating to God. That's also missing the point. You just get puffed up in a lot of knowledge, but the relationship with God is not really built up. And so, this is prayer. So when we truly communicate with God in prayer, you realize in that right communication, that's where your own heart is moved by the heart of God. Meaning to say, a lot of times, miracle happens during when? Miracles don't happen when you only see the Red Sea open. Miracle happens during prayer. This is what you need to experience in your campus life. Miracle don't happen when you get your result slip or all A, then that is miracle. Miracle happens right in the midst of prayer. When you pray, your heart is transformed. Your heart is moved. Your heart is assured by God. And you receive the love, you receive the joy, you receive the direction. You know, even during prayer, God gives you a sense of direction. What must you do? What must you emphasize? What must you let go? What must you put down? So the heart is changed when you communicate with God. And God, when you talk about relationship, it's not just with God, it's also with men. So in the Bible, we say that God says, you know, as I have loved you, go and love each other. So now you notice God's love. Okay, this is another point. Sorry. God's love actually gives us strength. Imagine if God just gives us a command, go and love each other. Now, if God didn't love us and demonstrate His love for us first, and God just merely said, go and love each other, what will happen to us? First of all, we have no feeling to love. You know, if I suddenly have to go and love every new friend that walked through the church door, honestly speaking, I don't know the person. I don't have the relationship with the person. Suddenly have to love the person in a vacuum. It's very hard. But God didn't just give us a command and full stop. God says, as I have loved you. So God gives us a role model. God let our hearts first taste the sweetness of unconditional love. You know, undeserving love. We don't deserve the love, but God loves us. So when God gave us a command, that's why I say we first receive from God. So God's love actually strengthens us. Or in other words, empower us. Okay, this is actually the third point. So when you have, in other words, when you read the word of God, when you receive the heart of God, when you're touched by the heart of God and touched by the love of God, the truth is, the natural consequence is that love of God will strengthen and empower us to do His will, to do what pleases Him. So, you know, a lot of times we hear this phrase, because we are forgiven much, so we are able to love much. So we receive first, then we can give. And so, if the love of God strengthens us, our prayer should be, let God's love motivate us to do everything. Everything. Not just in loving others. I mean, of course, you know, from the context of today's passage, we can say, because God loved me, so I love everyone selflessly. That's one way of applying it. Another way is, you know, you think about something in your life. You think about something in your life that you find it hard to do right now. Maybe it's to study well or study studiously, just like I mentioned, or not to spend so much time on the handphone or whatever. You think about, so let God's love motivate you to do that thing that you find it very hard to do. Because God's heart is, for example, if I find it very hard to, you know, y'all always say I'm very studious. I'm very studious for a reason, because I was Christian since 9 years old. I mean, so God's heart has been influencing my heart since 9 years old. So, you know, every time, I also, even though I'm studious, all of you know that I am equally carnal, because I share my weaknesses with you many times, right? So I'm just a piece of flesh, the Reverend Lee likes to say, equi-role. I'm just a piece of sinful flesh. So I have a lot of carnal desires. But sometimes in things that I really hesitate to do, because it opposes my, because it goes against my sinful nature, like things like to be diligent, to be hardworking, to love people. Let God's love motivate. Meaning, sometimes I really want to slack. I don't want to study. I got to-do list I don't want to do. But I think about, you know, God's perfect. God loved me. God give me health. God give me time. God give me the wisdom. And God have a plan for me. So let God's love drive you to do certain things. You know, sometimes, I don't know whether y'all know, I hate to drink plain water. The tasteless, odorless, colorless water is what I hate the most. But then, one day, don't know why I got this urge. The Holy Spirit is always rebuking me. Why you don't like to drink plain water? Then I say, no, I like to drink bubble tea. I like to drink, you know, every time you see me, you'll be with a cup of sweetened drink. But then one day, God reminded me, if you like that, you're going to kill yourself soon with diabetics or don't know what. Then how are you going to serve me? I give you this wonderful knowledge of the gospel. You don't utilize it and you want to kill yourself with some sweet drinks. I mean, of course, we can still drink sweet drinks. But for me, my diet last time was only sweet drinks, no plain water. So I need to insert. So after, I think when I was 25 years old or 30 years old, then I got this enlightenment. So I started to drink some plain water. That's why I'm still alive today. But but the thing is, whatever it is, let God's love, I'm trying to quote some example, because sometimes you only think, let God's love motivate you to do some spiritual things like loving people. But in everything, let God's love motivate you. You know, God has a plan, wonderful plan for you. God wants to use your life for important purpose. God wants you to take care of your health, wants you to sleep well, wants you to and on time, at times want you to sacrifice yourself for the purpose of spreading the gospel, etc. So let everything be built on the love of God, because the love of God can empower us. Because how do you know? All of you have felt the power of love, right? So when love comes into your life, what is the natural effect when you are touched by love? You will find this urge. Usually it's to please, you know, whoever you love, or to obey, when we talk about God. When you are touched by love, whether it's touched by love of your parents, touched by love of a friend, touched by love by a partner, or touched by the love of God, the common effect is, once you're touched by that love, you have this strong urge to, for example, if my parents, I want to please my parents because they love me so much, they sacrifice so much for me. I want to be nice to this friend, wow, because this friend really cares for me. I want to be with her when in her times of need, etc. And if it's about God, if God's love touches us, we have this, you don't have to force yourself. So a lot of Christians, they find it very difficult to obey God. And what is their problem? Their problem is they didn't taste God's love so much. But the thing is, once you taste the love of God, you don't have to force yourself. You naturally will want to please Him. You naturally will want to follow Him. Okay, so, and so just now I mentioned really, the third point, God's love, is it a bit messy? God's love strengthen and empower us. And today only 5 points, not only five. And when you are empowered by God's love, meaning when you receive His heart, when you receive ED, when you receive God's heart, then God will show you His will. God's will be plain to you, will be made known to you. Because just now Jesus said, you are my friends. Now if you obey my word, my command, who obey God's command? Only those people who know God's heartbeat. Those people who understand God's heart, then they obey God. So Jesus said, I will call you friends. And he contrasts friends with what? Slaves. The slave doesn't know his master's business. Meaning to say, I won't tell you too much if you don't know my heart. I explain so much to you, also you don't understand. But to someone who understands God's heart, God will share his plans with the person. God will reveal to you, you know why I make this thing happen in your life? Because I want to renew you in this area. I want to refine you in this area. Do you know when you pray, seemingly opposite results happen, but there's a grander plan behind it. You know, when you pray for your family members, then this thing happened, what is the reason? So, a person who is called the friend of God, he will be blissful because he's not kept in the dark. He's not kept in other words, confusion. He's like, what is God doing? Is God not answering my prayer? But a friend of God, he's very clear because God tells him everything. And such a person is definitely blissful because such a person, he always finds he can hear God and he can feel God and he can be strengthened all the time. And so the reason why we sometimes cannot understand the will of God, or we cannot discover the will of God, is because the truth is we love ourselves more than we love God. And so God can't be bothered to tell us so much because we love ourselves, we love our agenda, we love our ideals, we love our dreams more than we love God. So God also can't be bothered to tell us so much. I mean, of course His grace is still there to give, to support us, but He will not tell us so much. And so when someone who receives the heart of God, he will know the will of God, and such a person, this is the final point, will surely bear fruit. Just now we read. And not just fruits, but lasting fruits. Because that's a natural reaction. A lot of people, they care for fruits first. You know, when they come to God, the first thing they want to look for is fruits. God, I want fruits. You know, fruits have, we always say, fruits have inner and outward fruits. You know, inner fruits is like the inner peace, the inner joy. Outward fruits is like, the outward results. What is the tangible thing that I pray for? Or it could be doors of evangelism. You know, I pray, I spread the gospel and I bring so-and-so to Christ. But a lot of people, if you were, maybe ourselves included, every time when we come before God, we just are interested in the fruit first. God, I pray for this fruit. I want to get apple. Means I want to get apple. But we ignore the front part about relationship with God, the heart of God, what is God's will. But when a person, he forged a good relationship with God, he understands what is God's heart through His word, and he pray through it, and then he understand the will of God and obey it, naturally fruits will come because God is faithful. God is faithful to give fruit to whoever follows Him faithfully. And so this is where today is a broad, I mean, more can be said, but today, because it's a short session, is to give you an impression that every time when we read the Word of God, what is more important than the black and white? I mean, that the black and white is a foundation, it's a first step. But from the black and white Word of God, we need to go deeper to be influenced by the heart of God and to receive the heart of God so that we really can be God's friend and we really can live gloriously to fulfill His purpose.